Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Stop Telling Me to Relax. My name is Veronica. I am the host of this podcast. Before I get started, I want to do something that I always tell myself I have to do when I start recording, but I forget. Please, 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 if you could so ever so kindly leave a review and a rating on the podcast on whatever platform you listen to it on, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Amazon, whatever. It would be lovely if you listen to this podcast frequently, if you could leave a review or rating, if you happen to be watching on YouTube, because I have uploaded majority of the episodes on the YouTube channel. You can find it at Stop Telling Me to Relax. If you're watching on YouTube, please like the video, subscribe to the channel, leave a comment. All of that stuff really helps push the show out to more people who haven't seen it, to a wider audience, and it would be lovely if you could do that. So thank you. So for this episode, I really wanted to talk about some recent headlines related to some mom drama and some single moms, famous single moms, of course, because I love talking about celebrities that have been in the headlines. So first things first, something that's been on everybody's mind that everybody has been talking about is the Ashley Tisdale toxic mom group drama. So if you don't know anything about this or who Ashley Tisdale is, she is an actress, was in High School Musical on Disney Channel, that movie franchise. And then she had a music career like in the 2000s. She had a couple of like hit songs. And she wrote an article for a publication called The Cut. And she wrote the article about leaving toxic mom group that she was a part of. A lot of people have the impression that she was like kicked out of the group. It was my impression from reading the article that she chose to no longer like leave, be in the group and be friends with these women because of how she was being treated. So the article is titled Breaking Up with My Toxic Mom Group. Now, it's alleged. Well, I don't know if I could really say alleged anymore because I feel like Hillary Duff's husband kind of confirmed it. But it's alleged that this group consists of a few other famous ladies, Hillary Duff, Mandy Moore, Meghan Trainor. There's another woman in the group. She's like a really big YouTuber who does like cooking videos. I wasn't familiar with her. I can't remember her name. Gabby, I think. Something Gabby. I don't know. But she's allegedly in this group as well. And people, you know, once the article came out, people started putting two and two together and kind of figured out or assumed that the group that she's referring to is this particular group of ladies, because they haven't in a long time, or they have, but they haven't. None of the pictures have included Ashley Tisdale. But they haven't in a long time. You know, they used to post pictures of the group at get-togethers, having lunch, you know, kids' birthday parties and things like that. So the internet did what the internet does and kind of put two and two together and figured out who the group was. And according to what I've read on Reddit and what I've listened to in different podcasts and things that just I've seen online, she was allegedly, I can't remember if she uses this phrasing in the article, but she was allegedly like iced out of the group, where she was like not, you know, they were starting group texts without her in it. She was not being invited to different get-togethers, and somebody would post a picture of it and she would, you know, see that she wasn't invited. And it's like they were slowly kind of dropping her from the group. So she just kind of made a choice just to like leave altogether. Now, of course, that can hurt. You know, I have been left out, removed, whatever. That's the story of my life. So I understand that kind of stuff hurts. But when you dig a little deeper, you find out some things that kind of just, if she was being iced out of this group, in my mind, to me, if this is true, it's maybe a little justified. So I guess it all started last year when we had the fires here in California, the Palisades fires, where hundreds and hundreds of homes were burned down to the ground. And it ended up being that a lot of celebrities, well-known people, lost their homes during that fire. Well, I guess Mandy Moore and her husband and her family, and then some relatives of Mandy Moore's husband who lived in Altadena, they lost their homes during that fire. So like in the middle of the crisis, or you know, kind of in the interim, Hillary Duff and her husband opened up their home to welcome them in, those two families in, until they found a place to go and kind of got on their feet again. And I guess during this time, Ashley Tisdale, she didn't live in the Palisades, but she was also building a second home, a beach home. I don't know if it would call it vacation because it's just Malibu, but like a vacation, a beach second home in Malibu. And she was talking to the group about it and texting about it and sending pictures in the group texts and asking for design tips and all of those things. And it understandably rubbed some in the group the wrong way, because it's like, read the room. Some people have just literally lost everything. Everything they had, their house and all their belongings, burnt down to the ground. And you're always wanting to talk to us about the second home. You already have a home, but your second, like, vacation, beach home, whatever, that you are building. It's just, it's, if that's what happened, it is very insensitive and tone deaf. It is. And then I guess another thing that happened that kind of the group pulled back from her because of was when Charlie Kirk was murdered. She, I guess, had said some things in the group that were like defending him, or just pro the message that he spread on YouTube, because he was just a YouTuber. He wasn't a politician or anything. He was not Martin Luther King. And I guess she was kind of defending him and defending, you know, what he stood for, I guess, if you want to call it that. So that understandably turned, you know, people off in the group, and you know, they didn't really want to be friends with her after that. And we all know that's a very heated topic, politics and Charlie Kirk and stuff like that. So after that happened, they just really stopped engaging and inviting her to things. You know, if those two reasons are like some of the big reasons why she was kind of iced out, and they were slowly starting to not communicate with her as much, to me, is justified. I think good for them. Obviously, Ashley Tisdale says it differently. Maybe she doesn't quite understand why that would be offensive or whatever. So you know, just, I guess, in order to process her feelings about it and in order to feel better about the situation, she cut loose from the group and then wrote this article and put it out there. Now, how I feel about everything, my first initial reaction to hearing about this situation and the article and who's involved and everything is, Kim, there's people dying. Like, to me, there are so many more important things to write articles about and to bring awareness to publicly. It feels very like a privileged mom thing, like a privileged person's first world problem, to like be worrying about not being in the mom group and not being invited and whatnot. It just seems very silly to me. And what's interesting is, like, the last episode that I recorded, I, you know, was talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills and saying how I loved one of the previous cast members, Crystal Kung Minkoff. And so I was on Threads and I was browsing, and a thread from her popped up that she posted. Here, I'm going to read it. And she posted and she said, let me find it here. It says, I'm guessing y'all want me to discuss this Ashley Tisdale mess on Humble Brag. Okay, fine. Humble Brag is a podcast that she has with another Real Housewife, Cynthia Bailey, who's been on the Atlanta franchise of the show. And so I responded to the thread and I said, I know you are friends or friendly with this group, but I hope you see the side of how silly all of this is. It feels like a privileged person's problem. Yes, mom friends are important. I have a few. We see each other when we can, but I'm too busy busting my ass as a mother, a single mother, to even care if someone doesn't want to be friends. A lot of lower middle class moms are in survival mode, just trying to get by. If you don't like me, okay, that's fine. It's not this, in capital letters, this big of a deal. And she actually replied, which like made my day because I love her. And she said, may look small or overblown from the outside, but moments like this often expose deeper patterns around toxic friendships. power dynamics and emotional policing, which is why the conversation resonates beyond the regular situation. Now, like I said, of course, I was like so thrilled that she like responded to my thread or whatever, but you know, I see her perspective on it and I respect that. And even more so that that perspective is coming from her because she is in that circle. Like, I guess, I mean, she lives down in that area, Beverly Hills area, Los Angeles. She knows or is friendly with the moms in that group. I know she said on, I think it was on the podcast or somewhere that she was friends with Haley Duff, who's Hillary Duff's sister, because their kids went to school together, preschool together. And she knows a lot of those moms just like in that circle. So I appreciate her, you know, she's an insider. She's in that group. So I kind of appreciate her perspective on all of that. But I still like, for me, I still kind of stand by what I said in that, you know, I just feel like, I don't know, it's just, to me, it seems kind of silly and irrelevant. You know, Crystal went on her podcast and she talked about how she feels about the whole toxic mom group drama. And she revealed that when she joined the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, she kind of got pushed out or ostracized from her mom group because she was on the show and maybe certain people didn't like maybe the reputation that she was going to be a housewife and be on a reality show. And she slowly got it. She slowly started not being invited to things, you know, being taken out of the group text, talked about behind her back. And, you know, that stuff is very hurtful. And that stuff is hurtful. You know, it's hard to be friends with people and then they pull back and they completely change. I think all of us have been there, whether it's like a friendship or a relationship, that is very hurtful. So I see that perspective of it, and her feelings and her experience are definitely valid. I just think from my perspective, as someone who's not in that upper class, you know, group, not living in Beverly Hills or wherever, and not just not in that group, I'm like a middle class, you know, mom, a single mom. I just see it a little differently. So many moms, middle class type moms, you know, we're running on absolutely zero fumes, 0%. We're all trying to just get by every single day, take it one day at a time. We are just in full survival mode every single day. I mean, I can speak for myself. Obviously, I can't speak for all single mothers, but especially as a single mom, when there's so much responsibility, there's so much on your shoulders, you're just trying to get by every single day. You're trying to manage everything. You're trying to work and make sure everything gets taken care of, bills, the household, the child, all of that. You really, like, for me at least, and I know some other single moms can probably agree, like, I don't have time to care whether or not you invite me to the mom group. If I'm in the mom group or if I'm whatever, I don't care. Like, I don't have time to go to dinners and lunches because I am just constantly busy, maybe working multiple jobs, maybe dealing with multiple things with my family, with my kids and extended family. Maybe just if I do have free time, I just want to sleep and relax and read a book or something. Like, if I'm not in the mom group, I'm not in the mom group. And oftentimes you'll see with a lot of single moms, we're not even invited to the friend group anyways. Maybe because we're so busy, it's just assumed you don't have the time, or, you know, with the lifestyle differences, I guess, that I know I have experienced from some married moms, like you're not even invited. So there's like no group to be iced out of. Like, we single moms were on our own trajectory. And, you know, yes, we have friends who are mothers, some single, some married, but like, we just don't have the time or the energy. I feel like, and speaking for myself, and I'm sure others, maybe, I don't know, but I just think from a single working mom, lower middle class mom's perspective, we don't even have time for the mom group. So being iced out and of a group or unincluded out of the group text, like, we were never texted in the first place. We're never in the group. So it's just not something that I really ever think about or care. But I will also say that I do have a group of friends who are moms who are all single mom, or were at some point all single moms. Some are married now, and that was wonderful that that group kind of came together very organically, just through this person who knows this person, and we all kind of became friends. And for a while, like I said, we were all single and we all had boys. And so, you know, I had that little mom group to lean on for support. But like I said, as a single mom, so we just didn't necessarily have the time to plan and do a ton of things together. I don't know. It just wouldn't it just wouldn't have been like somebody's kicked out or somebody's like removed from the group because this or that. We all had similar lifestyles, similar jobs, all running on fumes and just exhausted, and all just it just. I guess being like of a certain age, like 30s, 40s, and even like once you become a mom at a younger age, like I was 24 and a lot of the moms from that particular mom group I'm referring to were all like 21, 22, 23 when we had kids. So you're young. And so you're just, your priorities or your perspectives really just instantly change because you have a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, maybe at a younger age. And so it's just not like, it's just, a mom group and fighting in the group or arguing or icing somebody out or not texting them or inviting them to meet. It just wouldn't have happened in my particular mom group that I was or still am a part of. Some people have moved, some people have married. It's different now, but we're a tight little group of boy moms for a while. But I don't know. It's just all to me like very immature to care that much, I guess, to me. I don't know. Maybe people wouldn't disagree, but to think like I started the group, like, you know, and be offended. It's just very high school to me. But also, you know, if the reasons why she was, you know, kind of slowly being removed from the group by others and not invited to things because of her tone deaf behavior towards others who lost their homes for the Charlie Kirk political stuff. If that's the truth, those are some of the reasons why. Why wouldn't you go to this group of women who you're claiming to really care about and you've invested a lot of time in, you know, building up those friendships? If they're expressing those things to you and you offended them or hurt their feelings, if you really care about them as much as you say you do, why would you, one, make this public? And two, why wouldn't you not go apologize to them? Like, I have friends who we have differences of opinion, but I wouldn't, if I offended them in some way, my immediate response is to call that person, have a conversation, apologize. You know, the very last thing that I want to do to anybody that I care about is offend them, hurt their feelings, show that I have any kind of discrimination towards them or I'm being insensitive. Like, that is the very last thing I want to do. So if that is the case here, that Ashley Tisdale, you know, offended, hurt people through, you know, her behavior and things she said, why are you taking it, making it public? Why aren't you, you know, just go apologize. Like, if you really cared about these people, you wouldn't have taken it to, or if you really cared about this group of girl, of women, this mom group, and your feelings were actually really hurt, I really don't think that you would write an article in a publication to kind of sort of call out their poor behavior. It's just, to me, like, it's making yourself the victim in the situation. And to me, and I'm going to kind of go into some politics, to me, that's very MAGA-coded behavior because, you know, you're making yourself the victim in the situation when the situation seems to revolve around you doing things that hurt other people that you're saying you cared about. So you're publishing this article, making it a huge thing, making it seem like you were the one who was kicked out, or you were the one whose feelings were really hurt, and you have no clue why they're upset with you or why they'd want you out of the group. Like, you're making a pity party and making yourself the victim. And that's, you know, not being able to see things as they are and playing the victim, being tone deaf, not quite understanding the I don't want to say consequences, the effects of your behavior and how it affects other people and why they might even be offended. That is very MAGA conservative BS, immature, nonsensical behavior. And so, you know, I just, it makes me not really even care for Ashley Tisdale because she doesn't seem empathetic or, in my opinion, she didn't seem empathetic or introspective or self-aware. And I actually, in another Instagram post, I believe it was from Parents Magazine, a woman posted a comment under an article about this. And she said that she would like want to hear from the other women in the group, hear their perspective about the situation and the article and whatnot. And I responded to the comment and I said, yeah, but see, none of the other women will probably say anything because they don't feel the need to blast their personal grievances all over the internet. Writing an article about a group of friends who distance themselves from you because they don't agree with your problematic views than pronouncing yourself the victim, MAGA behavior. It is. It's just very off-putting. I'm going to be honest with you. I feel a little satisfied knowing that the truth about the whole situation allegedly, you know, trickled out and it kind of backfired on Ashley Tisdale. People were kind of like, one, this is stupid considering the social and political climate we're in right now in the United States or in the world. And two, you know, you're making yourself a victim when you really offended the people you're claiming to care about and you clearly aren't wanting to apologize or take any accountability. And to me, like, I love situations like this. I know it's so petty, but I love, like, speaking of petty, Matthew Cuomo, who is Hillary Duff's husband, through him is how kind of it all got confirmed that this is the group that she's referring to in the article, because he posted something on Instagram wearing a similar outfit as the outfit that Ashley Tisdale is wearing in the picture for the article. And he said in the post he made, it looked just like the picture from the article, from the cut. And it said, like, when you're the most tone deaf, like, something person in the room, like, it was just perfect. It was, like, so petty and so ridiculous. And again, it, like, confirmed that that's the group that she's talking about. And I don't know. I just, yeah, I feel a little petty and satisfied that it backfired in her face and that people are thinking that she is probably the problem because she is. I love it when a celebrity like puts something out there and they think they're like taking a stand or like standing up for themselves or they're like sticking it to them, showing them the truth or whatever. And it backfires and everybody's like, you're ridiculous. You have no self-awareness. You don't know how to take accountability. This is stupid. This is a rich person's problem. I feel like that's what happened here. And I totally, totally, totally love it. It's a little silly. And as a single parent, we don't even have time to care about mom groups. We're not invited, even if they're toxic. We're not invited. So who cares? All right. So the next thing that I wanted to talk about here is Kale Lowry. So if you don't know who Kale Lowry is, she is a reality star. She was on season 2 of Teen Mom. And then season 2 of 16 and Pregnant. And then she went on to be on the series Teen Mom 2, and it chronicled her life as a teenage mother. On the show 16 and Pregnant, she had a son when she was 16 with her then boyfriend named Joe Rivera. They ended up having a little boy who they named Isaac. And now Isaac is 16. And from what I understand, Isaac is a member of the LGBTQ community, goes by the they, them pronouns. And has changed their name to Elliot. So I'll refer to them as Elliot from here on out. But that's just kind of the background of who Kale Lowry is and how she kind of got famous from reality shows and having a child when she was 16. Now, a little thing about Teen Mom is, like, I think, like everybody, like, I loved 16 and Pregnant and I loved Teen Mom. The first season was airing when I was pregnant with my son. A lot of the girls on the show had, like, some of the same, like, relationship issues and problems and things that I was going through. So the show really resonated with me. It was a very relatable show that I really, really loved. But Kale was on season 2 of 16 and pregnant. And then, like I said, she got put on Teen Mom of the second cycle with this girls from season two of 16 and pregnant. And then she went on to have, after the child she had with Joe, she went on to have six more children with three additional men. So she married a man named Javi, I think that's how you say it. Javi Morican. I'm butchering that, but she married him. They were married for like 4 or 5 years. They had a son, Lincoln. That relationship to me was very, like, they did not seem like a match in any way whatsoever. Like, just, and I hate to say this, but even just like physically, like, because to me on TV, I've never met her or anything, but like Kale looks like a bigger woman, not fat, but just like her build is that of a, you know, just a tall, you know, thick woman. Like Javi seemed very like just small and short. I don't know. They just were like a weird match. I've never understood that connection, but they married and they got divorced. He was in the military. I guess he cheated and they had a ton of issues. Anyways, they had one son named Lincoln, and she ended up getting into a relationship after her divorce from Javi. And she had two sons named Lux and Creed with a man named Chris Lopez, who in my opinion is a total loser. Like, I just don't understand what, like, I don't know. I don't want to get into how I feel about these people, but like, he just, I don't know. He was not the one. And then after that relationship with Chris broke up, she then had three more children with her most recent ex-fiance named Elijah. She had a daughter named Valley and two sons named Rio and Verse. So that leaves her with seven children. And throughout the years that she's been a public figure, you know, a lot of people have criticized her about having seven kids and four baby daddies. Yeah, that would be four. Yeah, four. No, one, two, three. Yeah, four. Four baby daddies. She's gotten a lot of criticism for that. And there've been a lot of people like on TikTok and just on the internet either defending her or kind of agreeing with the criticism. And Kale always put it out there that, all these children were created out of love and I have the money to take care of all these kids, because she has gotten wealthy off of, you know, being on reality shows. And I know she has a few podcasts that she hosts. And so she has the money to afford seven kids. So to her, it's justified. And she's been in relationships with these men, so it's justified in her mind. But I guess to the outsider, I guess I can speak for myself or other things that I've seen on TikTok talking about her life and her baby daddies and her relationships and her kids. I mean, four baby daddies, seven kids, four different dads, to me is completely irresponsible. A lot of people associate like having the financial means to take care of children as that being enough to raise them. But taking care of children and being a mother, being a parent is much, much more than providing financially. But I will say that I don't think that Kale is a bad mom. Like the things I've seen on the shows, things I read about her on TikTok or podcasts, she seems like a good mom. Like, I'm not criticizing her parenting skills, because she does seem like she is good to each of her children beyond financial means, but she still has had different men in and out of her home, having, you know, three additional boyfriends, ex-husbands, whatever, baby daddies after her first one. So she's rotated all these different men and had more children in these relationships that were not solid, and exposed her children to that kind of chaotic relationship kind of drama. And that is not healthy. And that is at some point, I would think maybe after the second, maybe even the third baby daddy, you would be like, you know, maybe I need to slow down. Maybe I need to stop being in relationships. Maybe I need to start, you know, or even like I need to, what'd be the word? Start using some sort of birth control, contraception. It's very reckless and irresponsible to me. And the only reason why I bring all of this up is because, of course, now she's, you know, she was engaged to the fourth baby daddy. That relationship only ended a little while ago. And now she has a new boyfriend who looks very similar to the last two baby daddies. They all look alike to me. Chris, Elijah, and then this new guy. I think his name's Isaac. I don't remember where I read it. I don't remember what his name is, but they all look alike to me. But she's already moved this man into her house with her 7 kids and is already like all in, gung ho in the relationship. And to me, it's like a cycle. This cycle will repeat itself. Now, look, I guess she said on one of her podcasts, and she has like 3 podcasts with different people about different topics. But she said like she did have she got her tubes tied, so she can't get pregnant and have any more kids, which is good because she has 7. So that's enough. But she still, in my opinion, is not looking out for the best interest of the 7 children she has by getting into a new relationship, moving that person into your home around your children. It's a brand new baby relationship, and she's just exposing her children to another man. And it's just very unhealthy behavior. With dating nowadays, you know, you really have to be super careful about who you let around, just around you in general, and then adding your children into that and moving somebody in so they're all living together. I don't know. It's disappointing that like after 4 baby daddies and 4 failed relationships, you wouldn't then realize that you need to do some work on yourself and that your behavior is harming your children. It's unfortunate to me. And again, you know, Kale has said recently that she expresses regret over having so many baby daddies, saying that she created all these broken homes, stuff with all the teen moms and the 16 and pregnant girls always intrigues me. And, you know, the girls that ended up going on Teen Mom, we kind of got to see their lives, you know, with their kids. All of the kids that were on the first couple of seasons are now teenagers and 16 and 17. So it's cool to see their kids grow up, but it's cool. It's interesting to see how all of their lives have, you know, have played out. And I just thought that stuff with Kale, you know, it's interesting. You know, this is something that I'm self-aware of and trying to work on, is that I know I can be very judgmental and kind of have opinions, that, like I said, that are judgmental. Everybody grows and learns and becomes self-aware in their own pace. It's puzzling to me how it took 4 baby daddies and 7 kids to realize that maybe you're doing things in an unhealthy way. But I guess she realized, but no, I guess she didn't really realize, because, you know, now she's then moved in. Her latest boyfriend already lives with her and the kids. And so I don't know if she's really, really learned. But like I said, you know, it seems like the cycle is going to repeat itself, where this relationship's going to last for a little while. Then it's going to be over. It's going to be this big dramatic breakup. Her kids are going to be hurt because another guy that they attached to has left the relationship and left their home. And it's just a very toxic, unhealthy cycle that she's in. And if she's realized that she made 4 broken homes with, 7 kids, 4 baby daddies, and she's created these broken homes, and she needs to stop dating, in my opinion, and work on herself. Okay, so lastly, I want to talk about Teyana Taylor. Now, if you don't know who Teyana Taylor is, she just won a Golden Globe. She's an actress, a singer, a rapper, who she just won a Golden Globe this past weekend for the movie One Battle After Another, starring Leonardo DiCaprio. And her speech, her reaction to her win and her speech gave me goosebumps and made me tear up. I mean, it was just so, she was kind of the underdog in the race. She said in her speech she didn't think she was going to win, but she did. And knowing what I know, this is all from what I've read in articles and things online, Teyana Taylor's professional success, to me, all seems to align with dropping the deadbeat husband and becoming a single mom. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I don't know. To me, yeah, dropping the deadbeat husband who's kind of weighing you down and thriving on your own. To me, that's what this success from with her new success with her acting career, that's what it seems like to me. She was actually, years ago, she did an episode of My Super Sweet 16 on MTV. Millennials, or like elder millennials, you know, we remember My Super Sweet 16. There was an episode that she did on that show when she turned 16. She's always been in the public eye and always, you know, just been a famous person for a large portion of her life. Now, I read something somewhere about Teyana Taylor that when she was looking for a record deal, when she was a teenager, she was, had a manager and was looking for a record deal. Jay-Z's record label at the time, I don't know if it's still a thing, Rockefeller was interested in her, but they were also interested in Rihanna. And I guess it came down to, with the record label, with their budget and just the capacity that they had, they could only choose one young woman to sign a contract with and be on the record label. And so Jay-Z specifically chose Rihanna over Teyana Taylor. Now that had to have been absolutely devastating to one be pitted against another young Black girl and have these grown men decide who would be more profitable for them. I'm sure that was a very devastating, opportunity, devastating thing to go through and a devastating opportunity to lose. And then to see Rihanna blow up into Rihanna while she still kind of struggled to get some professional success, that had to have been tough, But Teyana Taylor was married to basketball player. I think he's retired now. I don't think he plays anymore. I'm horrible with names. Iman Shumpert. They were married from 2016 to 2024. They actually had a reality show on E! About their life and their marriage and their relationship. It was called Iman. I need to figure out how to say this man's name. Iman and Teyana. I thought they were always so cute. I can remember he did a season of Dancing with the Stars and he made it pretty far. Like he was like in the top 4 or 5. And she was at every show, cheering him on, giving him a standing ovation. Their reality show, they seemed super cute and so in love. And they look like, I feel like I always say on this show, talking about certain couples, they don't look like they would be attracted to each other, or they don't look like a match. These two look like a match. Like they're just so both gorgeous, and their styles and their personalities really seemed to click. And I really loved them together. But they got divorced in 2024. When they did announce the separation, she released a statement stating that infidelity was not the reason why they ended up getting divorced, because there were lots of rumors about him cheating on her, as, his reputation, or him being a basketball player, what's that phrase? His reputation precedes itself, or whatever. Like, he's an athlete, but she said infidelity wasn't the reason why. In her divorce filing, she cited cruel treatment as the reason why she wanted a divorce. Now, cruel treatment, according to whatever state that they filed for divorce in, can be like physical, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, neglect, things like that. So that was the reason that she stated legally that they got divorced. Now, last year, some of their divorce filings and like the final resolution in their divorce got leaked. Allegedly, he was claiming that she was the one that released the divorce papers to the press, and that was a breach of their final, divorce declaration or whatever. I don't know the specific terminology. I don't know if I'm using the right verbiage, but it was a breach of what they agreed upon, because everything was supposed to say confidential. So she had to end up paying him $70,000 for, leaking the divorce papers. It got discovered that she maybe leaked some of this information to the press. So she had to end up paying him. It was also leaked, I don't know if it was in these divorce papers, or it was just like stuff that was put online, that in the relationship, he was wanting to, as a lot of men do, after a little while of being married, they want to open the relationship. He requested threesomes with different girls. He requested an open marriage where he could sleep with other women. This is what I've read, allegedly. They were having explosive arguments and, it just wasn't a healthy relationship. To me, during that time period when they were married, like the last like 3 years or so, she wasn't doing all she's doing now. Like, seemed like whatever she wanted to do professionally was put on the back burner because she was married to him. He was a basketball player. So obviously he's traveling a lot and he's working a lot. And so she kind of had to be home with the kids. This is what it seems like to me. She had to be home with the kids a lot, and he was working, traveling, being an athlete, and she didn't really get the time that she needed to devote to her goals in her career. And now we see, now that they're separated, they're divorced. She is thriving. She just won a Golden Globe. Now that she was divorced, she kind of dropped the dead weight of the guy who she wasn't enough for. That's what it seems like to me. He wanted threesomes. He wanted more and more and more and more of her. And she couldn't do it anymore. The marriage is over. She now has more time to devote to herself, her goals, her what she wants to do for herself. And look, she is thriving. She got cast in a movie. I mean, she's in the A-list now. Like, you don't get any bigger than co-starring in a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. That is top tier A-list. And, you know, she is in Ryan Murphy's recent production of All's Fair with Kim Kardashian and Glenn Close and Sarah Paulson. I mean, she is doing things, hitting her goals and thriving. And I feel very strongly, my opinion, that if she had stayed in that marriage to him, if she had, my opinion here, tried to be the dutiful wife and embraced the threesomes and the open relationship and continued to have this toxic, according to the divorce documents, the relationship ended because of cruel treatment. If she had allowed that for her life, she would not be in the position where she's in now, where she's gotten acting jobs and she's a Golden Globe winner and she's thriving. She's thriving. And it's brings me to tears to think about that. To me, that takes a ton of strength to leave something that's unhealthy and put your best foot forward. And I mean, I'm getting goosebumps right now. Like, it's just such an amazing, amazing story. And I think that every woman, maybe if you're listening to this and you're struggling with a relationship, you're not sure whether or not to stay, to leave, whatever, and I'm not telling anybody to leave their marriage or leave their relationship or whatever, look at Teyana Taylor's life. Look at how she is successful and thriving and living out her dreams and hitting all of her goals. And in my opinion, a lot of that happened because she dropped the dead weight of a man who wasn't good for her. You know, sometimes, you know, you have to, as painful and as hard as things are, you have to let it go. You have to move on and you have to focus on yourself. And once you do that, as painful and as hard as it is, you will thrive. So maybe if you're in a similar situation, just think about maybe how you can better yourself, better your life, reach some of your professional goals if you choose to drop the relationship that is unhealthy and is not serving you. And I do want to say this last thing. So recently, her ex-husband, Ayman, was involved in a domestic dispute where the cops were called to his home involving a girl that he was dating or sleeping with. I don't know. He actually was the one that called the cops because he was asking her to leave his house and she wouldn't leave, or she was taking a long time to leave or something. So the cops got called. But I mean, let's look at, to me, that screams that he is still the same person. There's a video on Law and Crime of the police body cam. And like, this girl that he called the police over is at the house and there's other girls there. So he's still kind of doing his threesome stuff. Like, it goes back to what I always say, is that men don't change. He still hasn't, even after he lost his wife. And even after seeing her be super successful without him, he still is the same person. And the best thing that Teyana Taylor did for herself, in my opinion, was leave that marriage. So I'll just wrap up there. Thank you so much for listening. I just hope that this was fun. I just love giving my thoughts on things like this. So I will see everybody later.